Hello, this is Pastor Coleman from the Olivet Baptist Church on August the 10th, 1986. A sermon was preached from John chapter 8, verse 31 through verse 36. And the sermon was entitled Consistency. You know what I was trying to do? I was trying to let the Christians as well as the non-Christian know that the Lord wants us to be consistent in our Christian lives. Jesus said in verse 31 to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed." Now, what I was trying to emphasize are some very important points, that we are to be consistent in Christ's goodness. We are to continue in His grace. We are to continue in the Christian faith that He's established through His love. And that we are to be consistent in our prayers and thanksgiving. Also, that we are to be consistent in sound teaching. And finally, to be consistent or continue in the love of Christ. I trust that this sermon will be able to bless you. It blessed me, and not just because I preach it, but because I know the substance of the word. God bless you as you listen to another fine Point A tape. This is Pastor Coleman from the Olivet Baptist Church. We'll give you the address at the end of the sermon. Speak in terms of fidelity. When I preached about fidelity, I was speaking of my relationship to you and your relationship to me in terms of faithfulness. Yeah. And then a while after that, we started to speak about authority. First fidelity, then authority, the authority that you have in Christ as Christians. Amen. To get the job done. Amen. Now, between that, we had a baptism and we had a sermon and the door was shut, and then we had a baptism sermon. And now this morning, I'm coming back. And as I spoke of fidelity and authority, now I speak of consistency. Amen. Consistency. Our obligation is to be consistent in the Christian life. Amen. Amen. To be consistent. Now in these verses that we read this morning, verses 31 through 36, what do we see? We see that we can be delivered from bondage. We can be made free through the Son, Jesus Christ. But the focus is on verse 31. Then said Jesus unto the Jews which believed on him, this is the conditional, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Consistency. If you continue in my word, not if you're a church member. Not if you know the book. Not if you have faith to move mountains. If you continue in his word, then are you his disciples. Not if you build a church. Not if you sponsor an appreciation. Not if you put your deeds and what you can do in the church. If you do one thing, continue in my word, then you are my disciples. That's the basis of Christianity. Amen. Consistency is what Jesus is talking to us about. Right. Now listen, when we speak about this freedom from bondage, this implies a taking of his yoke, a coming under his service. Yes. If you continue in his word, you must take his yoke upon you. Amen. That means that you have to put your service down and take his service up. Amen. His service is not always pleasing even to believers. To believers. Amen. Those that have been in church for years refuse to take on Christ's yoke. Amen. Now they'll take on the pastor's yoke. Pastor John, what do you want me to do? It's not my job to tell you what he wants you to do. He will let you know what to do, and he says right here, if you continue in my word, that's what he wants you to do. Then are you my disciples indeed. Yes. See? See? Amen. It's not what Pastor John wants. It's not what Reverend Finister wants. It's what he wants. Yes, sir. Amen. And it's conditioned upon you taking it. Yes, on you being consistent in the life that you're in. Now, for those of you that are not Christians, you have a little problem here. Because you don't have to worry about consistency. You haven't began yet. This is under the premise that we've had that start in Christ. When we enter his kingly service, we are on our way to safety. That's all these verses are telling us. Yes. But let's go back up to that verse again. If you continue in my word, you're not going to be involved in entering into safety and freedom unless you continue. Some people have a good start and they stop. They fizzle out. Christianity just becomes something that you do on Sunday. And I'm telling you that Christianity is the power that gives you force to go on Monday. That's what it is. We continue in his service. When we continue in his service, then we get that perfect peace that we claim that we have. Yes. Amen. I will keep them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Amen. God promises us that. But go back to verse 31. If you continue in my word. See, now I'm holding you to the point here. We're not going to talk about freedom this morning. We're not talking about, you know, the Son setting you free. Those of us that are believers know that you've been set free. But I'm admonishing you to be consistent in what his word says. You must be consistent. You must be consistent. Oh, John, I love you. I got fidelity. I love you and you love me. That's good. John, I know I have authority in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's told me to do it and I'm going to do certain things that No. He says, if you continue in my word. And all 66 books of the Bible is his word. Amen. Now let me stop here and say this. This doesn't mean for you to take a portion of scripture out of the word and put your meaning on it and try to continue in your definition of the word. That is not what he's talking about. It's not what he's talking about. He's talking about that thing that I have ordained, that thing that I have said, that thing that I am all about. That is what I want you to continue in. Not what a church may teach, not what the doctrine may teach. Jesus says, if you continue in my word. Now listen, church, you've got to get an understanding of what that word means. Don't try to pick up anything in this book and says, God said it, I claim it, I believe it. You had better be ready, Christian, to define it and know that you're defining it perfectly within its context. Because if you're defining it outside of its context, listen, you are not continuing in his word. Amen. And I want to warn you, Christians. I want to warn you, Christians, that are hooked into the television, too. I want to warn you Christians that don't have enough spirituality in your church that you have to look at television and find out a new method to go to. This is the method in verse 31. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. That's what Jesus said. That is what Jesus said. Now listen, none of anything that I mentioned about service and about safety is going to be considered if there is no consistency in one's Christian profession. If you are not consistent in your Christian life, nothing that I said about freedom and service and ability and authority and all of that stuff will allow unless you are consistent. Yes. You've got to be this every day of your lives. Yes. You've got to live it, walk it, talk it, breathe it, sleep it. Yes. I mean, this is good for the old Christian. This is good for the young one. Yes. I mean, we had a new young lady, 15 years old, come to Christ. She is under obligation to Christ to continue in the Word of God. If she does not continue in the word of God, she is disobedient to the word of God. Yes. Those of you that have been in church all of your lives, I mean, I'm talking about from a teenager. I mean, hey, my mama started me in this business. That means nothing if you are not continuing in his word. I want you to know that. God demands consistency. I want you to consider these facts, that there are true and false disciples. You better know that. You better know that. There are true and false disciples in every church. Yes. God forbid in some churches, all of them are false. Now that might seem pretty hard to swallow. What, John? I'm saying if the doctrine is false, if the preacher is false, if the whole course is on a doomsday path, they call themselves a church, but they're not a church. Now I'm going to mention one to you. Church of Scientology. That is not the Lord's church. That is not the Lord's church. That is a cult. Amen. That is a cult. All right, the Church of the Latter-day Saints, the Mormons, that is not the Church of Jesus Christ. Amen. You better hear me. You better hear me right now. Any cult that denies the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ is not a church. Amen. They are all on their way to hell. They can sing, and listen, 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 what? No choir can sing better than the Mormon Tabernacle. I'm telling you, when you buy their albums, they can bring tears to your eyes. When you see them on television, they're all dressed right, standing up straight, holding the books just right, and my Lord, I love, I praise. They are all, since they deny the deity of Jesus Christ, listen to me, on their way to hell. Because Jesus says, if you continue in my word, Jesus never taught that you can become as God. That's what Mormonism teaches. Yeah. Now let's face it. Let's face it. Are they Christians? No, undeniably they are not. All right? And so let's just mark some things. Some people are disciples in name only, yet they are dead. They're dead. They're named disciples. I go to church. I go to the Olivet Baptist Church, so I know I'm saved. No, friend, you might be on your way to hell. Are you consistent? Are you consistent every day of your life?
Yeah.
Are you living a Christian life? Do you know it? Do your friends around you, your classmates, the people that work with you,
yeah,
does your buddies know that you really live for Christ, young men? Or are you out there doing what the world is doing and call yourself on the way to heaven? No, no, no. As I said, you can have your body stretched out before a congregation and a godly man, and he can do nothing for your soul.
Amen.
You have got to be consistent today. That's right. Listen, listen. Only those who belong to him in heart are true believers.
Amen.
You've got to, from the heart, do this business.
Amen.
You've got to, from the heart, get up every Sunday morning and say, I will be at church.
Amen.
Some of you, listen to me. Some of you are going to be at work tomorrow morning. You will not let an earthquake stop you.
Amen.
If a 6.8 shook, you said, no, I got to go to work. I got to go to work. And you can get up, and I'm telling you, your shoe, you may not have, ladies, the right dress. You will deny coming to worship. Man, you might say, look here, I'm tired of what that preacher's saying. I'm not coming to church. You're not consistent.
No.
You're not going to heaven. You are on your way to hell as quick as a race car passes the line at the Indianapolis 500. That's real quick. He's got to be quick to be the first. And that's how quick you're going to hell.
Amen.
The mark of a true disciple is continuance in the word of Christ.
Yeah.
And consistency in every aspect of his Christian character. The mark of a true disciple is going on, being consistent, never turning off of the path, never. You don't listen to anybody in your family. You don't, men, listen to your wife. Now you know why they call women, ladies, the weaker sex? Because I'm telling you, when things get rough, you know, the women would do like Abraham's wife did. Well, Abraham, I can't have a baby like God said, so I have this handmaid. You go in with Hagar. No. No, no, ladies, no, ladies. Consistency. Sarah should have trusted God.
Yeah.
And so men, when you marry to wives and they say, let's go the easy way, you had better stop listening to your wife.
Yes.
You had better listen to what God had said. See, that's where Abraham got in trouble. That's where he got in trouble. He listened to Sarah. What is consistency? What is consistency? It means to be in agreement with what has already been done or expressed. Christ said, you are my disciples if you continue in my word. I have given you my word. You are mine. Now continue in that relationship. Consistency in terms of behavior, conduct, our actions, and our mannerisms. That's what he's talking about. How I act every day. What I say every day. What my intentions are every day. Don't call yourself a Christian if you wishy-washy. No, you're not. You're consistent. What the word of God means tomorrow, what it means today. Why is it that when you get with your partners, you get real embarrassed? Well, you know, I got to be like the fellas. I've got to be like the ladies. Christ is looking dead in your heart, and Christ is saying, you are not continuing in my word. You call yourself a Christian, pay attention to this message. Consistency speaks of behavior, which is a public and observable event. Listen to me.
Amen.
Public and observable. Everything you do in your Christian context is in the public eye. Men are looking at you as professed Christians.
Amen.
And when you call yourself a Christian and you have an attitude better than a grizzly bear, they're going to think Jesus is like that.
Amen.
You had better put out the vibes that Jesus is pure love,
yeah,
pure truth, pure righteousness, and we're to walk like that. We're to live like that. An observable event in your life. And some of you, the only event that you do is show up once a week. I showed up, John, and I was dressed real nice. I dressed real nice. I said, oh, well, sister such and such, you sure do look nice. You sure do look nice. Why don't you talk with your neighbor? She needs Jesus. Why don't you share the good news of the gospel with your in-laws? They need the Lord. Why don't you open up your home? You have a 15-room house.
and you're a church member, and somebody needs to have a neighborhood Bible study, and you got a patio out there, nobody's in there but you, wasting time. Why don't you dedicate your heart and your home to the Lord if you continue in my word?
Yes, sir.
Amen. So let's see. Let's see if our character stands up.
All right.
When I say consistency, consistency in which way? Well, the first way, we are to be consistent in his goodness. We are to be consistent in his goodness. Therefore, since he is good, what?
Good.
We are good.
Amen.
Amen. Romans 11:22 says this, "Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell, severity but toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off." Now here Paul is speaking to the church at Rome, and they had an accusation against God's people. They were saying, well, we are Gentiles and we're redeemed, and God cut off his own people because of disobedience. Now here Paul is admonishing them, listen, you had better be aware of God's goodness towards you, or he will cut you off like he cut them off. Paul was speaking about the Gentiles being engrafted in and becoming like the real children of God. And so he says, you cannot look at my chosen, the Jews, and talk about them because you're engrafted. If you do not understand my goodness, and if you are not good, I will cut you off just the way I cut Israel off. And we know that he did that in two times, in the Egyptian captivity and in that Babylonian captivity. And so we should be aware and consistent in his goodness. Listen to this. As God is hard on any of those that disobey, he is also very gracious and good to those that obey. When you believers disobey God, he's going to come down on you with his wrath. Don't you think that his salvation is a safety veil for you? Think of his goodness to you, John. Therefore, I can do anything I want, and he has to be good to me. You better thank God. I don't know what kind of God you worship. But my God is a God of vengeance and wrath. And he says that if you do not abide in his word, he will punish you. You can grieve him, and he will bring punishment down on you. Just as you disobey and he'll punish you, he is good to those that trust and obey in him. I'm telling you that we have to be consistent to continue in his goodness. I'm beckoning you believers to continue to be good. When it gets to the end, especially you young people, listen to me. You are going to expand in your life. You're going to run into situations that some of us adults have already dealt with. And listen, adults, because I know what you're going to tell us. Some of you are going to say, well, honey, you got to do what I did. We all have to. Listen to this now. Listen to this. You parents, honey, we all make mistakes. Do you know what you're doing? You are teaching your child to make a mistake. Honey, I know what you got to go through. I went through it. Well, that's a lie. You lied to them. Children, listen to me. Your mom and daddy just lied to you. You don't have to go through that hell. You don't have to go through that. That's the biggest lie that the devil ever put out. That you have to sin as you grow up. See, that's what I heard. That's what I came up around. Honey, everybody's doing it. I'm telling you young women something right now and you young men something right now. You can live a chaste life.
Amen.
You can live it.
Amen.
You can live it. You can look at the devil and laugh at him.
Amen.
You can live a chaste life. It is all up to you and the Holy Spirit. And when the devil comes, even through your parents and your in-laws, say, well, I know you got to do it because I did. Your parents was just sinners.
Amen.
That's an excuse. They were sinners.
Amen.
And if they were in church, they didn't know the Lord. They didn't know Christ. Because he said, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. The word of God preaches that.
Amen.
Now, I don't know what these other preachers are teaching out here. These other preachers out there say, well, honey, I know how it is. Let's pray. No, no, no. Don't pray. Stop it. See what I mean? Stop it. What you talking about praying? What are you going to pray about? Stop doing the deed. Trust Christ. He'll give you power. You have to be consistent in Jesus Christ. Amen. You've got to do it. You've got to do it. Is our goodness towards others consistent? You parents think about it. Is your goodness towards others consistent with the Christian pattern?
Yeah.
If you give out communication like I just spoke about, it is inconsistent. You are not a believer. And if you are, cut that out and start telling your children the truth. But they will not believe it, parent, until they what? See you.
Amen.
Amen. They got to look at you. They go, well, mama, let me see you living. You know, I can't stand her. You going to heaven?
Mm-mm.
You can't stand her.
Yeah.
And the kids are looking right at you saying, that's what Jesus is all about. They will never come to Christ. And you have become the stumbling block.
Yeah.
Their blood will be required on your hands.
Amen.
I'm saying that God is calling us to be consistent.
Same,
the second point. We are called to continue or be consistent in his grace. I said that we are to be consistent in his goodness. Secondly, we are to be consistent in his grace. Oh, what does that mean, Pastor? You sit at the table and say grace every day? No, because you can say some words. You can sit there at the table and bow your head. Gentlemen, you can pray 25 minutes and not even reach glory. You know? My cousin and I were speaking about that. Sometimes people come and they pray, they want to eat, and after they get through praying, the food is cold, and all you want to do is get up and leave. And he said all that, and then when he gets through praying, he wipes the sweat off his brow, and I don't even want to eat the mashed potatoes because it tastes bad. Come on.
Yeah.
Sit down and say, Lord, we love you. We thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. Pass the mashed potatoes
before
they get cool.
Yeah.
You've reached the throne.
Yeah.
You've reached the throne. But I'm talking about continuing or being consistent in his grace. Acts 13, chapter 43 says, listen, now when the congregation was broken up, this is Paul on one of his great missionary journeys, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God.
Mm-hmm.
To continue in the grace of God. Now, that goes along with our text. Jesus said to those Jews that believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And so now we see Paul, after Jesus is in heaven, admonishing the saints there to continue in the grace of God. If we have found favor, that's what grace is, we continue in it. He's been favorable to us, we walk in his favor. We continue in his favor. We do not turn from his favor. We do not become his displeasure, we become his pleasure.
Amen.
It becomes a pleasure to live for him.
Yeah.
It becomes a pleasure to rejoice in him.
Yeah.
It becomes a pleasure to come here every Sunday morning for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
It becomes a pleasure to open up the book instead of ebony.
Yeah.
It becomes a pleasure to read the word of God instead of jet. You see what I'm saying?
Amen.
Now, I'm not saying don't ever read those magazines. Because you can find out an awful lot about your community by reading those two magazines.
Amen.
But I'm saying the pleasure is in continuing in his word.
Amen.
His word.
Amen.
Some of us read business management more than we read the management of our souls.
Amen.
Some of us read popular mechanics more than we spend time in trying to get the mechanics of our disposition made right. He's saying to continue in his word.
Yes.
You've got to be consistent in that. But you know why we're not consistent? Because we do not love him. We do not love him. We do not want him. Listen what else he says. He says that if we have found grace, we show it by how we respond.
Yes.
If he has been good to me, I am good to you.
Yes.
Oh, Lord, I just shower grace all over you.
Amen.
You know what? Some Christians in this world are some of the stingiest people you ever want to meet in your life. Oh, Jesus. God has blessed them. Bless them with much, 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 much. I mean, and they won't even share anything. Has God been good to you? Oh, yes. He's been good. Well, now here's someone over here that doesn't have much. Oh, praise God. I hope God sets them up. And you turn and walk away. You're not consistent in his grace. You're not consistent in his goodness. He went to Calvary and died for your sins. And you cannot even give a brother the time of day. Amen. Especially if you have five watches at home and you know that brother keep asking you for a watch. Do you know what grace is? Goodness is? You get one of them watches that you don't ever use and you bring it, wrap it up in a nice little box, shine it up, get it fixed up nice and say, God bless your brother. Jesus loves you. This I know. There it is. You share in his grace.
Amen.
But you know what some of us would do? I ain't giving him nothing. I had to make it. He's got to make it. I had it hard. He's going to have it hard. I'm going to tell you that. That's what God is saying. We are to be just like Jesus was just. We are to be full of his grace, just like Jesus was pure in all things. That's the way the Lord wants us to come across. If we have found regard or grace in him, we therefore show that regard and grace by showing it to others. I'm saying that we are to continue in his grace. It is the hardest thing in the world for American Christians to do. I have said often in my young ministry that American Christians are a bunch of the spoilest brats you ever want to see in the Christian world.
Amen.
American Christians. God has blessed us with so much stuff materially. You know what? We have gotten locked into that, like that materialism has become our God. I got to hold on to all this. And if you have that attitude in your heart, Christian, the Lord may send a fire through your house and burn it all up. Burn it up and say, I'm trying to turn your heart to me. You are not consistent in me. So if you profess to be a Christian, either live it or stop playing the role, because the Lord will show you that you are not living it. We are to continue in his goodness. We are to continue in his love. We are to continue in his service. That's what that grace is all about.
Yes.
In God's goodness.
Yes.
I like here Reverend Willingham sung that song. See? Yes. He's walking if the Lord has him to walk.
Yes.
You continue in God's goodness, in God's love.
Yes.
Not your love.
Yes.
We don't really know how to love.
Really.
We don't know how to love. We don't know how to love. We make a pretty good effort at it, but we don't really love. You want to know what love is? Greater love than no man than this. Get this, you Christians. You professors of faith. Greater love had no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friend. That's what love is. You better hear me. You love, yes, I love them. I sure do. Are you willing to go a mile with them? Who, me? No. I don't like the way they part their hair. I don't like the color of the man's shirt. I don't like his temperament. I'm not going anywhere with him. Greater love that no man than this, Christ laid down his life for us, and he even called us friends when we were his enemies. I'm telling you. Third point, what are we to be consistent in? We are to continue or be consistent in our faith. Now, those of you that are outlining, take this down, in our faith. That faith that was once delivered into the saints. Not this new faith stuff.
No,
not this new faith that's going to take. Well, now, I got faith. I'm going to take hold of all of this. You know, I was doing some reading and listening, and I was doing some reading, and it says that there's a part in the scriptures in the New Testament when Lucifer was battling for the body of Moses, and what the angel said to Lucifer, the Lord rebuke thee. Did you know that Gabriel, that angel didn't come against Satan? Even another angelic being couldn't come against Satan. He said, the Lord rebuke thee. Now, they got a new faith down here where some of these Christians are saying, I rebuke. What?
Yeah.
Gabriel couldn't even rebuke him. I rebuke him.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
You don't even know what's outside of that building now. You rebuke who? I rebuke you, Satan. Pay attention to me, those of you that are thinking that way. We are to be consistent in our faith. Pay attention. Acts chapter 14, verse 22. As Paul is strengthening the church there, he's confirming the souls of the disciples there. Listen, as Paul strengthens the church, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through, look at this, much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. We are to continue in the faith. Paul is admonishing them to continue in the faith, and he doesn't stop there like most of these faith teachers teach. He does not stop there. He says, we must, it's imperative, you better listen to me. We must through much, not little, because some of these new faith teachers will tell you, you will never be buffeted by that. Do you? Look, wait a minute. Wait, I won't even read the rest of it. Some of you have already turned to it. I'm back to the text. If you continue in my word, is not Acts 14, 22 his word? Amen, it's his word. Acts 14, 22 says that we through much testing, trial, hardship, suffering, must enter into the kingdom of God. Now these faith teachers will tell you, no way, Jose, do you have to go through that. No, you just bind it and it's bound. Well, you disagree with the word of God. The word of God tells me right here, through much of this, we enter into heaven. the new faith teaches, through none of this you will enter in. I tell you to pay attention. If Jesus says to continue in my word, if this is a part of his word, and this might be hard to some of you here today. This might be hard because some of you might be under the bondage of that kind of thought. I want you to pray with me today that the Lord opens your mind to the word. He says, through much will you enter in. So if you want to enter in on a flowery bed of ease, that is not Christianity. That is a new faith. And I'm telling you that we are to be consistent in our faith. Now that's what the word of God teaches. How are we to be consistent in our faith? How are we to become? Well, John, since it doesn't mean that, how am I to be consistent in the faith of Christ? That's very easy. Well, John, since it doesn't mean that, how am I to be consistent in the faith of Christ? That's very easy. By actualizing what we know to be God's wills in our life. All right. You know what God's will is in your life through the word, do it.
Amen.
Let's go back to this verse that we just looked at. You just learned something about God's word. Accept it. Depend upon it.
Amen.
Claim that.
Amen.
Prophesy that. No, I don't like that. I don't like that. I don't like that. I don't like that. I don't want to suffer. I don't want to go through that. I want it easy. Well, you need to go to Stuhler's church. Because Stuhler will never quote this. He'll never quote this. He'd empty the Crystal Cathedral. It would just become a glass house with nobody in there. Do you know what Christ wants? He wants you to take his word. If you continue in my word, you know what my word is. You are to let that word actualize in you and be consistent with that in your life. And I'll bless you. I'll bless you. Youngsters, I'm going to tell you right now, those of you that are not Christians, I'm going to tell you right now, it's easy to come to Christ. It's easy for his Holy Spirit to empower you. It's very easy, but it's going to be real hard for you to change your mind about something in your life. You better change your mind when you come to Christ. And do not be beguiled by what you see on the tube. You better spend some time in the word of God. All right, we are to continue in his faith, right? We must be consistent. How are we to be consistent in our faith? By believing so much that we can bring about a moral change in our homes. Now listen, we believe so much that we live it and we bring about this moral change first in our homes.
Amen.
Where we live. Lord, I believe the word of God. Now, what does it mean by suffering anyhow? Suffering. Some of us say, oh, I have godly children. Everything's going to go right. No. Brothers and sisters, everything might go all wrong.
That's right.
Those lovely little babies that you raise are going to turn into the most hellacious creatures in the world.
Amen.
You can be as godly as you want to be. If God is not in their lives, they will give you fits and refits.
Amen.
And you will deal with it. You will deal with it. And do not ever go to God and say, Lord, take my ungodly children away. No. You better say, Lord, give me courage to bear. Give me strength to be a light to my children. He'll do it. That's tribulation. That's trials. But did you know, Adele, that you can go to some churches and everybody's kids, oh, they're all believers. What? You see the way your kids act at school and they're a believer? You see your kids out there dancing with the world? They know what a crack is. For those of you that don't know what crack is, it's cocaine. They know all about that stuff. You don't never see your kid open up his Bible at home. The only time you see them is when they come to church with you and you got to show them where the book is. See? But they all saved anyhow. And they believe some of these new strange faiths. And then they go out there and start going to bed with everybody when they turn into young adults. And says, well, the Lord knows I'm weak. Oh, yeah? Why aren't you consistent in his word? That's because they don't teach the word. If they taught the word, they would come against that. Listen, you would bring about a change in your business.
Amen.
In your business. Wherever you do business, make sure it's not monkey business, church.
Amen.
You will bring about a change in your business and the school that you go to.
Yeah.
Listen what Colossians 1:23 says. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, and which is preached to every creature which is under heaven, wherefore I, Paul, am made a minister. Now let's break this down. I don't want to take too much time, but I'm talking about consistency of Christian faith. Paul says it's based on a condition of if you continue. He verbalizes what our Lord verbalized. If you continue in the faith that was once delivered into the saints, not this new faith stuff. Now, I won't even go into the definition of faith. Some of us know it. Something firm standing under you, supporting you, that you stand on. not something that you devise out of the blue and make it becomes a worker for you. That's not faith. That's not even from the context of the language. It could never mean that, because if so, the faith is in you. But the faith is a work done on you through grace.
Amen.
You do nothing to affect it. You just exercise it. Lord, I don't have anything. I don't know anything. You do all things. And the Lord's going to say, my child, they trust me. Now, guess what I'm going to do? You've got to suffer a little bit more.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, Lord, wait, I thought you were my Lord. Oh, I am your Lord. But I'm trying to make you fit for the kingdom.
Right.
Amen. You're not going to win any souls unless you've been out on a battlefield. And a battlefield means making you rough, tough, and tactical. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about.
Amen.
Then he says, grounded and settled. How many of us are grounded and settled or wishy-washy? Every 6 months we change churches. Bow, I don't like what they teach there. I'm going to the other one. I'm looking for a secret method. You know what the secret method is? If you continue in my word. There's a method right there. If you continue in the word of God. And not be moved away from the hope of the gospel. Some of you this week will let a JW come to your front door, a cult leader, and lead you away from Christ. First thing you're going to say is, I didn't know that. He says, don't be moved away from it, which you have heard. Have you heard it? Amen. Number four, we are to be consistent in our prayers and thanksgiving.
Yes.
See, we don't want to be consistent in that way either. Do you know that most Christians' prayers are the gimmies? Lord, give me this. Lord, give me that. 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 You get everything from the Lord. You won't give anything. The gimme, 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 gimme. I'm your child. You owe me the world. We have to be now. What does the Bible say? Listen, listen, listen. Show me the Christian that doesn't pray. That is, and I'll show you a man who doesn't know anything about being thankful. If you don't pray, you cannot be thankful. And if you pray in that way with the gimmies, you cannot be thankful because you too because you're too busy asking for more. You want more, 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 more. Some of you might be on the road to being prosperity thinking Christians.
Yeah.
Well, I believe in the prosperity method. You know, there's one prosperity method. If you continue in my word, and you're going to suffer. And you know how you're going to be prosperous, church? Get out there and get you a real good job. Go to school and get you a good education. So you can go on Wilshire Boulevard and work in an air-conditioned office and name your own price. You become prosperous. But the Lord's not going to give you $1 million bank account. I dare you to move to India and set up a Goodyear tire business in India. You think you're going to get prosperous there? Two-thirds of them don't even own cars. You go bankrupt. So see, don't attribute that to God. That's in your hands. You can become prosperous if you want to. God does not want to bless you with a bunch of money. He want to bless you with a bunch of grace and for you to get out there and do the work of the gospel. Look what it says. It says in Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. The Apostle Paul says to continue in prayer. See, Christ said, if you continue in my word, all of the word is full of his consistency. In order to be consistent, you know what we have to do in respect to service? Prayer is to be offered in every situation. Every situation you offer prayer. Lord, who do you want me to marry? Go to him in prayer. Lord, what do you want me to do for the rest of my life? Go to him in prayer. Lord, what role for you to have me to do in the church? Go to him in prayer. Lord, how much money do you want me to make a year? Go to him in prayer. See that? Lord, do you want me to be rich? Go to him in prayer. Instead of going there and say, give me riches. Give me riches. I tell you how you're going to get that Cadillac. You're going to go out there and get a job, and you're going to go to your credit union, and you're going to buy one, and you're going to drive it by me, and I'm going to say, ooh, God bless you. I hope he makes you be able to pay for it. Amen. That's how you're going to get that BMW and those fine clothes and everything else. You're going to get a job, and you're going to work for it. But God is not in the counterfeit business. You know what I mean by that? He is not going to rain down no checks on you. No, he doesn't. But now when you look at TV, they're going to tell you that. That's because the people are sending them in their checks. Amen. Prayer is to be offered to God, not to a man. Prayer is to be offered to God, not to a man. You want to be consistent in the Christian way? Don't ask a man to pray for you. Speak up for yourself. Now, I didn't mean that the way some of you caught that. See what I mean? So, well, what does that mean? Pastor John isn't going to pray for me? Sure, I'm going to pray for you. But you know, a lot of people say, well, John, you pray for me. I said, I will pray for you.
Yeah.
And then you know what you do? You go on about your merry business. Living in sin, doing it. Well, the preacher prayed for me, so I don't have anything to do. No. Be consistent in prayer, real prayer. Go to God for yourself. Lord, I'm nothing but a filthy wretch undone. And I want to be made clean and done. That's what we have to do for our Lord. Prayer is offered unto God, not to man. Prayer are those words which reach the Lord. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, John, every time I open up my mouth, they reach God. No, they don't. Not necessarily. Whenever you pray and say, gimme, 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 I'm going to tell you right now, the Lord does not hear you. He doesn't hear you. The devil hears you. The devil says, good, good. Materialist, good. Not a spiritualist, materialist, good. The devil's hat. Gimme, 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 gimme. I got to see it. I got to touch it. And the devil is saying, good, good. And I'm going to show you how you can get it. He does not want you to say, Lord, take it if it's getting in my way. How many of you would resource say, Lord, take it. Take it, Lord. Take the promotion. If you know I'm not going to deal with the promotion right. Take the fancy sports car. If you know all it's going to make me do is catch women. Oh. See, ain't no old, ugly woman going to look at you when you're in that fancy sports car. No, the young, pretty gal's going to look. Take it, Lord, and give me an old Ford. See what I'm talking about? Consistency. This is not a popular gospel, is it? It is not a popular gospel. No. But I'm going to tell you something. Jesus is coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle, church. For a consistent Christian. He's not coming back for those who died in a sports car with somebody else's wife. Wasn't this. Not come back for him. No. Yeah, he was on the deacon board and died. He was a fine saint. No, he wasn't. He was nothing but a lousy adulteress. And he got caught in his sin. And you better call it like it is, or when you die in hell, will you lift up your face? Amen. Nobody's exempt in this business. Now, you think they preach this in all these churches now? No! They preach in prosperity. Tell them good things, John. Tell them things, John, to make them feel good about themselves. I'm telling you, the best way you can feel about yourself is to look at yourself and say, Lord Jesus, I need you. Are you thankful for everything? Are you really thankful for it? No, John, I'm not thankful for what I have in my pocket. All I got is $10, and only me and God know it, and I don't know how I'm going to make it. Are you thankful for the 10? No, I wish I had 30. Are you thankful for the 30? No, I wish I had 130. Are you thankful for the 130? No, give me 580. God will take that. I'm telling you, I'm thankful for nothing when I have nothing in my pocket. That's Christianity, church. That's Christianity. That's Christianity. See, Christianity is not the gimmies. Not the gimmies. You better listen to me. If God is alive while everything happens in and to us, we are to be thankful for his promises. God is not dead when you're going through suffering, when you're going through pain. If any man suffer as a Christian, what does the Bible say? Let him not be ashamed, but do what? But glorify God on their behalf. Why don't the faith preachers preach that? I've never heard any of them say, if any man suffer as a... No, they don't want to go to that scripture. That scripture will cut their goozles. And every time I come in contact with them at some of these meetings and things, I bring them and say, all right, brother, define that to me. They look at me and they walk off. I said, oh my God, you're not continuing in his word. Peter said that. He meant it. The man went through suffering. Number five, we are to be consistent in sound teaching. Amen. Sound teaching. Sound. 2 Timothy chapter 3, sound. Verse 14. Listen. But if thou continue in the things which thou hast learned, see that consistency? Yeah. Continuance? Yeah. If you continue in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Here Paul is writing to Timothy and said, now your grandmother and your mother taught you about what Christianity is all about. He says, you continue in those things because you've not only seen it, but you know it, you've experienced it. Some of us in the church know it, see it, and experience it. And the minute we come in contact with somebody that shows us a little bit more money than we have, we're going to get bananas in our minds and chase a dream. Yeah. Chase a dream. I'm going to tell you for sure, when you leave this planet, your soul is going to live on forever in one of two destinations, a burning hell or a heaven of bliss. Amen. Amen. So you better be careful. Sound teachings create spiritual minds. Sound teachings create spiritual minds. I've already been talking about sound teaching. Take what I said in the last part of the outline and deal with that. Sound teachings create spiritual minds. The opposite of sound teaching is unsound, and it does not create spiritual minds, but But deficit minds, mind that doesn't have the complete truth of God's word, investigate the word. Sound teachings create friction from those who oppose it. You better hear me. Sound teaching does nothing but create friction from those that oppose the very sound teaching. I don't like you, John. Well, let me tell you something now. You got a problem because I love you. Because God gives me this word to preach.
Amen.
And I love preaching it.
Amen.
I don't like you, John, because you make me feel guilty because I do not believe in those sound teachings that you believe in. I said, well, then you've just said it with your own mind. You have the problem. I don't. I believe the word of God.
Amen.
Now, you come to me with the word of God and show me where these scriptures that I quoted mean something else.
Amen.
Then you are real good. You real good then, because see, you're more powerful than Paul.
Yeah.
See, God gave Paul an insight and he was a beloved apostle. And all you are a 20th century spoiled materialist Christian who won't even take time to investigate it from the language. You hear somebody on television and says, oh, I've got it. What do you have? What do you have? I've got it. What is it? Prove it. I can't. We are to continue in sound teaching. That's what the word of God teaches. Verse 16 from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. Verse 16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness. So all scripture is given. It is profitable. It is for us. It is sound teaching. We are to be consistent in that. Sixth and last, then I'm finished. We are to be consistent in our, and this is where we fail, love.
Mm-hmm.
We are to be consistent in our love.
Love.
That is a natural Christian act to love.
Yes, it is.
And I dare to say that right now in this room, there are some of you that don't have too much love in your heart. First of all, you don't love this message. You don't love me, God's messenger. And you can care less about this. And this thing is tearing you apart. Well, please let the Holy Spirit work. That is what church is all about. That's what, see, if you feel in that kind of tightness, that frustration, that's what church is all about, church.
Amen.
And if you're a Christian, you say, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
I feel this tightness because it's something wrong with me, not you.
Amen.
You see, if you're right and you love this,
Amen.
You'd be eating this up.
Right.
You'd be saying, oh, Jesus, I'm so happy I got this.
Amen.
Oh, Jesus, I want more of that kind of stuff. But no, you're sitting there and you feel tight. You feel remorse. You feel degradation against me, God's man. That's what God's man's going to do. God's man's going to preach like this. If he doesn't, I hope God kills him. Ha, ha, ha. And put somebody else there to do it.
Amen.
See, God has never left himself without a witness.
Amen.
Everybody that calls himself a witness is not God's witness. I'm saying that the natural act of the Christian is love. You are to continue in my love. John 15:9 says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love.
Amen.
Some of us won't be consistent with Christian love because the preacher preaches like this and we have an attitude. I dare say, who's not going to shake my hand after the sermon this morning? Well, Brother Pastor, I enjoyed it. Did you really tell God how much you enjoyed it? See, Brother Pastor can't do anything but look in your eyes and say, I hope so.
Uh-huh.
I hope you enjoyed it. Now, what you going to do about it? You going to live consistent? And get right out there and make a date, get me, to fornicate. Get right out there on the outside and start to lie. Get right out there on the pathway and start to play. See what I mean? It ends. It ends here. It ends. Inconsistency. Christ is looking at you and saying, you hypocrite.
Amen.
You hypocrite. Get right out there and supposed to love your brothers and sisters and show enough shows on bone, I'm going to hate them till I die. You're not going to heaven, you hypocrite.
Amen.
You're not going to heaven. He loved the unlovely like you and me. And we can't love nothing and nobody but ourselves.
Amen.
He loved the hated and the despised, and we do more hating and despising than the sinner does, and we call ourselves believers. He loved unconditionally, and we put a condition on the love. If you don't preach like that, I'll love you.
Uh-huh.
If you leave me alone in my sin, I'll love you, I'll bless you. But if you keep on preaching like that, if I'm a member of the church, I'll starve you out, preacher. This preacher's going to pray for you. Because you need the love of Christ in your heart. That's all you need. He loved in spite of his situation, and we base our love on our situation.
Amen.
Well, if things are going good, I'm loving lovely. But when things go wrong, I'm hellacious. I mean, what did Sigmund Freud say? That we have to do that. That's a psychological way of addressing our humanness. No. You better forget Freud. You better forget all that. You better come to Christ. He says that we are to love. He loved me. He loves you. His love lasts. And ours is inconsistent.
Yeah.
It's inconsistent by how we live. You watch it this week, Christian.
Yeah.
You watch it. The Lord's going to show you this week what you are. And I pray that you come back and say, Lord, what do you have for me this week? Because I got to get this thing right.
Yeah.
My heart may stop tonight,
yeah,
and I'll go to hell. Yes, you will, with your inconsistency. His love outlasts anything else. His love is seeking. His love is seeking some of you right now. I'm telling you. His love saves. His love wants to save some of you right now, but you will not let him save you. His love displays itself by offering itself. You will not take his offering that he's offering. His life can be your life, and his sacrifice declares you to be made right. And all you have to do is say, Lord, I love you. As I close, I want to talk to you just a little bit about his love. God has never told us that he has come and his intent was not to save us. Messages like this are to get sinners saved. Messages like this are preached to get believers to analyze their lives. Yeah, believe me. You finished it. That's right. You, Reverend Willingham, realize this thing here. Don't you look at these men up here and say, well, they're holy men. Let me tell you something. Man sitting behind a pulpit, preaching behind a pulpit, will go to hell worse than the drunk on Central Avenue. Quicker. He'll go there quicker. Because you know about them. Some of them with all their women, with all their dope, with all this other stuff, driving fancy cars, heavy bank accounts, and just shucking and jiving, they are going to hell. I'm telling you, the Christ's love says wherever you are right now in your spiritual relationship, I can clean it up. Jesus says, if you continue in my word, first there has to be a beginning. You can't continue in something that you haven't gotten started in yet.
Right.
Now, what I'm going to ask you to do today is stop something and start something.
Yeah.
Stop listening to the devil. Don't listen to him. What he wants to do is take you to hell. Youngster, he wants you to take you to hell. He wants you to live an inconsistent life. He wants you to become banana fruitcake syndrome for your parents. That's what he wants you to do. And if mine chooses to do that, I'm not going to let you send me to the nut house. I'll boot you out first. Because I'm not going for it. I ain't going to let you drive me crazy. But what I'm going to try to do is live Christ. Christ loves you, though, sin. Christ loves you. And all he wants you to do is say yes to him. And he'll show you how to live consistent. Now, I'm going to ask some of you for the first time in your life to consider his consistency. Will you leave a world of sin and be consistent and let him in? Will you leave that hypocritical Christian life that you've been living for years? And say to Christ right now in your pew where you said, Lord, come into my life. Come into my life. Become my Lord. Become my Savior. Show me how to live a consistent faith, how to live consistently in doctrine and teaching, in the grace of God. Show me, Lord, that what this preacher has said today is not against me but for me.
Yeah.
And you know how you show that you've done that? You say, Lord, I love you. I love your way. And I'm going to come forward, and by coming forward, I'm saying, Lord, I love your church. And I want to repent of my sin, and I want to be restored into fellowship with you, or I want to, and now get this church member, or I want to, for the first time in my life, commit my life to Jesus. That's what this message is all about.
Amen.
Sister Frost,
make it plain.
We're giving you an opportunity to come. We're giving you an opportunity to come. And by coming, you know what you're saying? You're coming, you are saying, Lord, I love your way. I love your truth. I want to be consistent in my walk from this day on. I want to walk and follow you. Lord, I want to be yours in Christ. Now, what the Lord is doing is he only speaks to a heart that understands the context, listen to me, of this message. And the context of the message is repentance and obedience and a walk for Christ. Will you come to Jesus today?